You're on mute if you're trying to talk.
So, Marco, I just sent you the article on from one of the trade rags.
Yeah, cool. Thank you. I'm going to see what we have from last week here. I guess John's not going to be able to, or he's just not going to listen in.
Did the attachment come through or did it get eaten, by the way? There's a link.
I haven't gotten anything yet. It looks like it's just going through. Oh, there we go. I got the link. Thank you. Let me see here. Okay. Oh, that's the yours? The let me see. That's cool. Yeah, maybe we can bring that up tomorrow as well on the pharma one. If you're going to be, I'm sure I'll be having an interesting conversation with Bob too, because he's going to go over. I sent out the agenda. And maybe we have to do it more than once. We have multiple sessions to cover with him. Okay, I'm just going to look at our last meeting notes just to see where we left off. Yeah, but thanks for sending that. I like to always keep up with the latest. Okay. All right, so I don't have as much content as last time to talk, but I'll just share my screen real quick. And it looks like we lost his face. Brett, let me see your screen share. So this is not like earth-shattering news or anything like that. I mean, I've kind of got the gist of this, but you know, the FDA wanted to actually seriously use blockchain for food safety traceability. I know it's been brought up as what you're doing on the pharmaceutical side. But there's growing or pending possibility. I mean, it's inevitable, depending on who you talk to. But the hunch is that they're going to start regulating and requiring blockchain for food scenarios, food companies. And Frank Yiannis from the FDA, well, he's a deputy commissioner of food policy and response, who coincidentally was also the former vice president of food safety at Walmart and the director of safety of health at Walt Disney World Company. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but
Giannis?
Yeah, Giannis.
Yeah, he's well known. He's a good guy.
Yeah, so, you know, he's now part of the FDA, and he was part of the Walmart IBM pilot program for using blockchain. I think he initiated it. He was part of the initial onboarding and also execution of initial pilot. And now that since he's left, Walmart's already using it. And now it looks like he's taking his experiences and now applying it potentially or to me as a potential requirement, you know, government requirement. So the question is when and what it would look like. At least that's what I'm wondering. You know, when is this going to be put into effect? And what exactly is it going to look like? So I put up these links here. I was reading up on this, and they're both on this page. But just going through it, basically, what it looks like, the FDA will oversee the data and will serve more as a regulator to ensure interoperability. So understanding that there's going to be different blockchain tools and applications implemented, but the FDA wants to ensure that the data and the standards are consistent. So, I mean, I'm guessing like GS1 standard type stuff, right? And ensuring that the correct data attributes are being captured. But I know on the pharmaceutical side, you mentioned previously that the FDA was originally the one who submitted the data requirements, and then the GS1 standard kind of revolved around that. Was that correct?
I think all the parties know each other, but I would say that the FDA guidances take priority in the industry over a consortium.
Right.
I don't think they disagreed, and I'm not sure I know who went first or last, but you know, terminology wise, I think the way for external people like us is when the FDA issues a guidance, there's a comment period, and then it kind of goes hard typically. But I mean, though most people in the industry would treat that as the law.
Right.
And so it's called a guidance, but you know, nobody serious would argue that they felt they could deviate from it.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
And then, yeah, GS1 is a little bit more about, you know, how to and how they would interpret it. But I think everybody kind of works together.
Right. Right. Yep, that makes sense. Yeah, so it's just going to be interesting when that's going to come and how it's going to be implemented. But it has already, you know, just by him talking in interviews, you know, it's regulating, overseeing the data. And a key factor here is also ensure interoperability. So that's more, you know, not all systems might be interoperable, but the data should be able to be consistent.
I think that the big issue that I haven't yet seen, and I haven't necessarily seen anybody talk about, is this at the pallet level, the case level, or the mango level?
Right. Yeah, I don't think they can do it on a mango level. from my industry background experience on the food side, you know, you do it by, you know, lot batch. It's usually how it's organized, and you know, the pallet could have, you know, one or more pallets can have that. Then you can break it down to cases. So it'll be interesting to see how that will be implemented. You know, Food Trust doesn't necessarily care. It just passes the data through. You know, you have to pass the data in the appropriate fields, but as far as the container size, doesn't care.
Yeah, frankly, I don't fully understand it, to be honest.
For the IBM Food Trust?
Any of this stuff. So yeah, if you take a mango tree, and Marco has a mango farm, and you've got a mango tree, and you pick the mangoes, I assume they get subsorted into number one, number two, and number three mangoes, depending on whether they're big and round or a little ugly or have a wrinkle in them. And then they go into three different boxes.
You'd think that, but...
And are they claiming that somehow they're going to be able to tell you which is which and what is what? And
yeah, no.
I have a little trouble believing that.
Yeah, it's not so simple. They don't do that. And a lot of times they'll mix the mangoes from different sources, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, you can get a bag of mangoes, and it could be from like four different farms, each mango, you know?
Correct. And so typically there are some like farm to table applications, and there are some in the trade, I've heard the term ornamentals used when, you know, you really have a super special tomato that's from a super special farm.
Right.
But I wouldn't think that that's, you know, the norm.
And even those farms, it could be a group of farms. Like the brand name is a farm, but they too can also get it from multiple sources and they just put, you know, their farm name on it. I mean, that happens too.
It certainly does. And so, you know, the stuff I've seen out of IBM on this topic is very futury. And I could imagine certain farms in California pulling it off, but it seems super unlikely that this is going to be true everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, I know what was the original use case? The CEO wanted a trace of bananas, and they couldn't trace it for like weeks, or took weeks for it to be traced. And then they went blockchain, they were able to do the trace of bananas in seconds. So, you know, I think whenever there's a recall, it's going to happen again. It's inevitable. And Walmart finally has their blockchain implemented. And I believe Queens is their suppliers are due to have that September to be on board for the Leafy Greens. But if there ever is a recall after that, it would be interesting to see how long it truly takes and what the effect is. I mean, finally in a production scenario to see what that's like.
Really, yeah. Happen. And again, bananas are, I mean, four companies control 90% of the world's bananas. It's a lot different than your typical supply chain in the fruit and vegetable world.
Right. So it'll be interesting how this pans out. Are you familiar with the American Council for Technology and Industry Advisory Council?
No. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I have a ton of trouble keeping track of all these trade groups and trade shows and everything else. It's mind-boggling.
Me too. Let me bring something up here. Well, they have let me see, ACT. They have a playbook for the federal government when it comes to blockchain. And I was just poking around here. Let me share. Do you see my screen? Are you able to see my screen?
Yeah, it's cool. I haven't seen this before. Can you send me a link?
Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty cool. They have a, actually I'll go back here. So I went to the website and you can create an account too. Like my company doesn't even, I can't have an account. At least I'm not aware of. Maybe somebody else does. Pretty big. I wouldn't know, but I created one of my own. So it's pretty easy. And when I was able to, then I came to emerging technology and this is where I found all the blockchain stuff. And these two right here, I was checking out, and I opened them both. They also have it on GitHub, one of the, yeah, right here. So, Blockchain and Distributed Ledger Technology Project, their playbook, they have a PDF version, but they also have an interactive version on GitHub.
You think you could just drop it onto our group's page? I think this is pretty handy.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, that was my idea. So I was just going to go through this real quick just to, because I'm still learning myself. And so this is more interactive. You can go through it. They advise on how you should come to, you know, to determine what solution for blockchain and what direction to go when selecting a blockchain solution, how to, you know, the process management, the project management, all that stuff. They go into, you know, the assessment,
it's cute.
Yeah. So it's interesting to see that they're actively engaged. And this is obviously was done by like a third party they hired to do that, but they're very much interested in it. And they also go into use cases as well. Let me see. I mean, the government looks like they're very much interested in utilizing it. I mean, you hear the use cases, how it could be potentially useful, but to actually see it, like the government is involved in putting this investment and effort to educate all the other government bodies to be able to leverage this.
Mm.
So, yeah, I'll definitely share all this stuff, but it seems pretty comprehensive. It started last year, it looks like, because they had a 2018 version, and they've been updating it. So it looks like it's getting more and more comprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
And it was here in this ACT IAC recent event. That's when Yanis had mentioned about the FDA regulating the food safety. So it looks like that's pretty much a conference where you know, a lot of the upcoming government technologies and requirements, regulations around technology or the usage of technology are potentially communicated. So this is new to me too. So I'm learning about this myself. So yeah, I'll share this. Bunch of PDFs to download too. Let's see here. Here we have a lot around innovation. Let me see if this one has a use case. Yeah, other business use cases, 12. So they go through their potential use cases. This is kind of general, but then they go here to aid tracking. So Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, began an initiative to transform the way the agency administers grants and disaster relief. So they kind of go as that as a potential use case, get into grants management modernization, basically using blockchain, By leveraging blockchain, FEMA has a unique opportunity to modernize and secure its process, eliminate fraud and abuse, and provide transparency and accountability for its budget. Contract management, this is actually already being utilized by the Department of Health and Human Services, the HHS. Actually, right here, that's what it is. This article talks about it too. But the HHS is already using blockchain to be able to track the different contracts that they have to ensure, because a lot of times they're dealing with many vendors or the same vendors multiple times.
And I've heard this several times. Have you actually talked to someone who's used it?
From the HHS? No.
Yeah, this one is one of these funny ones where I'm never crystal clear what they're saying, but they're making it sound that they're live and $45 billion is spent. And,
yeah, that's right.
And I mean, I have yet to meet anybody who's used it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say for sure. Except I was actually on this website here reading about it. And probably more than – okay, here. HHS moves ahead for acquisition, blockchain for acquisition and modernization. Okay. So this one right here, last month, HHS received authority to operate and pull live data for a new tool called HHS Accelerate, which uses blockchain and artificial intelligence to determine. The goal of this tool, which the agency has been testing since last summer, is to give HHS contracting officers a greater visibility into the agency's acquisition function. That visibility will allow them to cut down the length of acquisition lifecycle as well as promote better decision making and contracts. So yeah, it looks like it's an idea that they're using, but in terms of actually produced results and how effective and like any metrics has yet to be seen. I haven't heard or seen anything like that. So it's a replacement to their current system. So it'll be interesting to see how this comparison works out.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I've seen several write-ups, but it just sort of materialized out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to know more about that too. So, where am I here? Okay, so then we got the contract management piece. But this one, let's see, federal, state, and local government buyers spend nearly $45 billion through General Service Administration and the Department of Veteran Affairs scheduled contracts in fiscal year of 2016 to improve contract processing time modernization. GSA is piloting. So the GSA is actually already piloting this. Looks like what the HHS talked about, using AI and blockchain. And they're moving from design and proof of concept phases. They want to use it for the fast lane contract review process, reducing the amount of human interaction required to review proposal documents. Interesting. I mean, I've heard of that even on the commercial space, especially like around legal contracts and documents. So yeah, that's another area. Asset tracking. I mean, that we talk about that from, you know, the food side and from the pharma side at tracking assets. But the Department of Homeland Security is using blockchain to transmit and store data collected by their operating devices used along various borders from airports and ports to borders with Mexico and Canada. Not quite sure. They're not very clear how this works. Although the timing and implementation has not been disclosed, testing is currently being done with the blockchain platform. Yeah, they're very vague on how they're using this. So not sure what the details are on that. And of course, here we go with the FDA. And this one's for the, it talks specifically around the electronic medical records. But information that says genomic data, clinical trial information, and data collected from IoT devices and wearables. Again, this is pretty conceptual. I mean, we've heard about these things before, but actual use cases, it looks like they're pretty vague on this. I mean, other than what you're doing with the DSCSA, I'm not aware of any other pilots that the FDA is doing beyond that using blockchain. And of course, they go into also improving interagency business processes, which this makes more sense to me because, you know, you have all these different agencies in the government. They share information. A lot of that's done through paperwork. It takes, if not months, to go through a lot of the paperwork process when you are passing the data around. Using blockchain, obviously, that's a more beneficial use case to help process the sharing of data much more efficiently. But again, they have to themselves, the government that is, standardized on their data standards and what is allowed to be shared, because not all departments are allowed to share the same data, right? There's regulation around that. So that will also be interesting how that works out. That's what enabling regulatory compliance. So I'm not quite sure where they're going with this. Federal agencies often rely on periodic reports and inspections to determine if industry members are in compliance. Yeah, I get that. With blockchain, the network members can self-regulate by writing compliance data to a ledger. Agencies no longer need to request data. Okay, it's basically just they submit the information. Instead of submitting a report, they submit it to the blockchain. That then rolls up to whatever body that's regulating to be able to see on the blockchain, which makes sense. Data governance and information sharing. Like between federal, local, state, and law enforcement, as well as non-classified but sensitive data. Such data can be classification markings, handling caveats, and other metadata such as source citation. Right, so different agencies operate under different authorities and are limited to what they can do with the data. That's what I was just saying. So when you have different sectors of the government, you know, they're not they're able to see a certain amount of data depending on what level they're in. And obviously that's a concern. So having blockchain and setting it up such that it addresses that, that'll be interesting as well. And who regulates that too. And it goes on to other things like governance and so forth. So I'll post this. It's got a lot of information there. Again, it's a playbook for the government and maybe even third parties. Actually, this one's the playbook. This other one is more of a... was just more around blockchain for innovation, but this one right here is far more elaborate. And that is the website that I was showing earlier, but it also goes into more detail. It's just an entire document, and it's pretty detailed. So it goes into, if you're doing a blockchain implementation, how the project should be structured, the activities, what the expected outcomes of those activities are, and so forth. So yeah, interesting stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll get these uploaded. I'm trying to find, just like I'm getting Bob involved tomorrow, on other agencies or companies that are able to come on board here and also give a presentation or discussion. Make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
So if you have any interests of anything that you'd like to know more about, in fact, do you know, is there anything in particular around food safety?
No, I mean, at this point, I think, you know, food safety is an area where people claim they've got stuff up and running and people claim they have already solved it. And so, you know, I'm certainly interested in learning more, but, you know, I'm just here to learn. And
anything in particular around the food safety aspect? Like what are the kind of like those gaps? Are you trying to understand more of the process?
I mean, I'm open-minded to hear about any of this stuff that's actually working. I've heard a lot about mangoes and salmon. That's not like the biggest categories in the world, but it's interesting to know more. And, you know, what did they need and how did they get it done? And, you know, did they stop at mangoes or did they do everything? I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, but just to be clear, I mean, I go to the supermarket. I don't see any of this stuff in action.
Yeah, no, it's not there. At least not from a consumer level. And when I've been in Europe or Asia, I see like a lot of QR codes on the labels where that could be a means or an opportunity for somebody to scan and then see more information around the traceability. But in the United States, I don't see that as much exposed. I know there's some brands that are starting to do that. But I know we as an organization, like what we're doing, our initiatives are around the opportunity, not just on the supply chain side, but also on the consumer side, and having the ability to have that balance between what a company wants to share and what the consumer wants to know or would be interested in knowing and feel the trust, and to build that brand trust. So those are areas, and I know that IBM is trying to get into that more so on the food trust side as well. But I'm also curious to see what they get out of it, because they're Haven models, I mean, they're pretty pricey for what they do, and they charge for traces. And depending what size of company you are, you'd be $1,000 per month. And I think the minimum is $5,000. But I don't know how enough that is for them. However, the data that they start to get out of all this, and the data set being as pristine as it would be because it's on blockchain, they'll be able to gain a lot of insight and analytics and, you know, whatever, whether they throw AI or some advanced models on top of all that, what they can get out of it would be interesting. But I mean, that's something that IBM would have. What about their clients or the people who are on Food Trust? I don't know what that would look like. Anyway, some food for thought,
so to speak.
Yeah, I watched this documentary, and I mentioned it last time too, but there's a great hack on Netflix, and it was about the election, the previous presidential election, and how Cambridge Analytica, they used AI to be able to basically manipulate, isolate certain individuals, and just, it was all about data. So it just makes you like think twice about the exposure of data and how much power somebody has when they have data and what they can do with it. So it'll be interesting.
Agreed.
Anyways, I don't have anything else. I'll get those documents uploaded. I'll push these updates out. And tomorrow, I guess I'll see you on with Bob and who else would join. I'm looking forward to that discussion tomorrow.
Sounds fantastic. So that's at 3 o'clock Pacific, you're saying?
Getting my time zone. Like I'm in Mountain Time right now. I'm in Denver, so I'm also looking at my laptop time didn't update. So let's see here. So Pacific time, that'll be 3 Pacific, correct? That is correct.
Okay. Cool.
All right.
Look forward to it. Have a great day, and don't overdo it in the high altitude there.
No, it's been very sunny. I like it.
Great.
Well, thank you very much, Ben. I'll see you tomorrow.
Appreciate your hosting. Thank you.